There is nothing save the selfish heart of man that lives unto itself. No bird that cleaves the air, no animal that moves upon the ground, but ministers to some other life. There is no leaf of the forest or lowly blade of grass but has its ministry. Every tree and shrub and leaf pours forth that element of life without which neither man nor animal could live. And man and animal in turn minister to the life of tree and shrub and leaf. The flowers breathe fragrance and unfold their beauty and blessing to the world. The sun sheds its light to gladden a thousand worlds. The ocean, itself the source of all our springs and fountains, receives the streams from every land, but takes to give. The mists ascending from its bosom fall in showers to water the earth, that it may bring forth and bud. The Desire of Ages, page 19, page 20, paragraph 2. God is good, and all the time. In that quotation, what the writer is saying, that in all of God's creation, the only aspect of creation that is self-centered is man. Let me say differently. In all of God's creation, everything was meant to render service. Only man is focused on self. Listen to the words. There is nothing save the selfish heart of man that lives unto itself. No bird that cleaves the air, no animal that moves upon the ground, but ministers to some other life. There is no leaf of the forest or lowly blade of grass, but has its ministry. Almost impossible to believe. Every tree and shrub and leaf pours forth that element of life without which neither man nor animal could live. And man and animal in turn minister to the life of tree and shrub and leaf. She's saying only people are self-centered. And that because of sin. The power of the gospel delivers us from self-centeredness to other-centeredness, if I say that correctly. The spirit of heaven is you. The spirit of hell is me. I'll say it one more time differently. You and I are on this earth not for our own sake, but for the blessing of others. Can you say amen? To think like that, you need the mind of Jesus. And so Jesus said of himself in John 8:29, He that hath sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Always. The finite mind has difficulty comprehending that concept. I do always the things that please him. And the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. That kind of mindset is possible through total surrender to Christ. Anyway, our presentation is the people. In the spirit of consistency, I prefer this over that. Makes me old-fashioned, but I don't mind. So please, wherever you can, use a Bible. The second favor I ask, pray for me. Ask God to be with me and to put his words in my mouth. Jeremiah 1:9, Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. And favor number 3, I want you to think as you listen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we're so grateful for life. We're grateful we're still in holy time, dear God. Let none of us be eager to see the sunset that we may embark on our secular activities. Let us hold on to these holy hours jealously, Father. Speak through me now. Where I've let you down in thy presentations, forgive me. And control my organs of speech, dear God, and my mind, that I may not only say what's right, but say it the right way. Take all the glory, dear God, and give us the blessing, I pray. In Jesus' name and for His sake, let God's people say, Amen and Amen. Our subject, the people. Go to 1 John chapter 5. We read a very short verse, verse 19. Do we have that now? It's towards the back of the Bible, 1 John 5, reading verse 19. If you have that, say amen. Read with me. And we know that we are of God, finish the verse, and the whole world lieth in wickedness now. That's a very bold statement to make. That is what we would call politically incorrect. John says, we know we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. If you look at a statement, you can see a numerical imbalance. We must be very small for him to say the whole world lieth in wickedness. I didn't say that clearly. Let me try again. John says, we are of God. Then he says, the whole world lies in wickedness. Here we have godly and wicked. Which group is greater? Wicked. He says the whole world. What he means is, he said it the right way. But here's how you can say it. You can begin by saying the whole world lies in wickedness. We are of God, which means the whole world except a few. Are you with me? Let's see the Bible using a similar verse, and you have to say the whole world except a few. Revelation 12, let's read verse 9. Written by John, but we are in Revelation. Chapter 12, verse 9. Read that verse very, very carefully. It's the last book of the Bible. Chapter 12, verse 9. When you found that, say amen. Put a smile on my face and read with me. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, now carefully, which deceiveth. Now wait a minute. We have to say, which deceiveth the whole world? Come on, what do we have to say? Except, come on, a few. Which means that God's people will be outnumbered by the wicked. We know we're of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. This devil deceiveth the whole world, but except a few. Question for you and for me, to which group do we belong? God's people will be part of a severely restricted minority. Having said that, let's take another look at the people. Go to Leviticus 20, book number 3. Leviticus 20, we'll read verse 26. Leviticus 20, verse 26. Our subject, the people. All right. I have a good sister in the back who's found it first. Do you have that? Read with me now. You seem to be doing all right. What does it say? And ye shall be what? Holy unto me. Come on. For I, the Lord, am holy. Now read carefully. And have severed you. Come on. From? Why? Now let's do some reasoning. When you read the Bible, read it microscopically. I mean, really read and read it several times, the verse. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy. We read in Hebrews 12:10, we must be partakers of God's holiness. Now, a holy person must meet a condition and have, what's the next word? Severed. What does severed mean? Cut off. Cut off from what? Other people. Why? Now, a condition for belonging to God is that you must separate yourself from the world. And one of the problems of the church is that the church is too much like the world. Those are not my words. Somewhere I read that in Ellen White's writings. There is little difference between the church and the world. The church is secular 7 days a week. We're secular six, and we are a little less secular on Sabbath. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you, cut you off from other people, that ye should be mine. To belong to God, you must be cut off. Let the Bible say the same thing in another part. Exodus 19. Let's go there. Our subject, the people. What book did I say? Exodus, what chapter? 19. Let's read from verse 4. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now, question for you. Did they belong to God while they were in Egypt? Yes or no? Yes. Why does God have to say, I brought you unto myself? While they were in Egypt, they were not as close to God as God desired. Are you listening to me? He had to get them out. There are some things God cannot do for you as long as you are in Egypt. Even if you're God's child in Egypt, he must get you out. And so the Bible says, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. God is a God of personal relationships. Verse 5. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, read with me, then ye shall be what? A peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the world is mine. God desires a relationship with his people that he does not have with other people. Yes, it's politically incorrect. Yes, it may sound arrogant, but it's biblical. Read verse 5 again. Let me hear you. You read, I'll listen to you. My version now. Then. Peculiar unto. All the earth is mine. But of all nations on the earth, I will be closer to you. But notice what he calls them, a peculiar what? What is a treasure? What is a treasure? Something you value. I hope ideas are coming into your head. You know, a relationship with God is a precious thing. God says, I will value you above everybody else. But you must be cut off. But of course, God loves everybody. So he wants to work through them to bring more people into this relationship. Are you following me? He called them to use them to bring more people into this unusual closeness with the God of heaven and earth. You will be a peculiar. I, the great God, will place value on you above all people. For all the earth is mine. Our subject is the people. But we are a people who live in the world. Are you following me? Let's go to John 17. When God cuts us off, what does he mean? Does he take us out of the world and put us on another planet? What does God do when he cuts us off? You have John 17? Read verse 15 for me. What does that say? I pray not that thou shouldst take them, but thou shouldst keep them from thee. So we have some idea what God does when he cuts us off. He cuts us from what? Evil. That's the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out. Don't put them on a spaceship and take them to Mercury. Just keep them from the evil. A Let's read Commandment 10, Exodus 20:17. But don't go there. Please don't do that. What does Commandment 10 say? Say the whole thing. The commandment number 10. What does commandment 10 say? All right. Okay, you've suffered enough. All right. Commandment 10. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Do not desire the things of your neighbor. Clearly, this is commandment 10, but it's a very powerful commandment. Someone who covets is an idolater. The Bible says that. A person who breaks commandment 10 is breaking commandment 2, which is breaking commandment 1. A covetous person is an idolater. I'll give you that text at the end if I remember, but not now. I don't want you to go there. Now, the Bible says, don't covet what? Our neighbor's things. Who is our neighbor? All right. Go to Exodus 12. Let's read verse 4. This is where we get information on how to carry out the Passover feast. And we were told to take an animal on the 10th day, keep it up until the 14th, and a lamb for each house. Now we have a condition in verse 4 of Exodus 12. And if the household be too little for the lamb, are you there with me? Amen. Exodus 12, verse 4. Read nice and loud. And if the household, come on, be too little for the lamb, come on, let him and his neighbor next unto his house. Stop. What do you learn about neighbor in that verse? They live right next to you. Let him and his neighbor, your neighbor does not live in North Korea. Let him and his neighbor next unto his house. Your neighborhood is Hershey. Mine is Ann Arbor. But even in Ann Arbor, I live in a separate neighborhood. Are you following me? And so the Bible, yeah, there's a global view of neighborliness, whoever has a need. But on a more practical level, your neighbor is the person next to you. Now, are you in school? Your classmate is your neighbor. Are you with me? Your office mate is your neighbor. Close. Let's go to Genesis 2 again. Our subject, the people. Genesis 2, let's read verse 9. Are you there? And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that's pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, were those two trees neighbors? Yes or no? Yes. But were they to be treated in opposite ways? Yes. One to be avoided, want to provide food, but they were neighbors. Go to Matthew 5. Matthew 5. Let's read from verse 14 of Matthew 5. Read with me. Ye are the light of the world. Stop. Now, Jesus Christ describes the world as having two things, light and darkness. They exist where? On the same world. Are you with me? On the same world. Now, are they neighbors, yes or no? Yes. Go to Matthew 12. Let's read from verse 25. What does that say? And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Now read 26 carefully. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself, how shall then what? His kingdom stand? So Satan has a kingdom. Go to verse 28. Read with me. But if I cast out devils, come on, by the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God is come unto you. So we have the kingdom of God. So Jesus says there's a kingdom of God, there's a kingdom of Satan. Where do we find them? Where do we find them? Right here. There are only two kingdoms on this earth. The kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of God. Question for you. Are they neighbors, yes or no? Yes. Now, what's the 10th commandment? Any stuff. Don't covet. Now, which means the Bible is saying, don't covet the things of the world. Don't covet the educational system of the world and bring it into the church. Don't covet the health practices of the world and bring it into the church. Don't covet the romantic behaviors of the world and bring it into the church. Do not covet the political shenanigans in the world and bring it onto the church board. Thou shalt not covet anything that is thy neighbor's. Don't bring family practices from the world where children run the homes and bring that into the church. The people I'm talking about are people who have cut themselves off from the world by not participating in the things of the world. Those are the people to whom God can entrust the Holy Spirit to bring this gospel to a glorious conclusion so that Christ may come. Don't bring the fashions of the world into the church. And we do. Matter of fact, if you want to know what's fashionable in the world, just come to church. Come to church. Oh, that's what they wear now. Those are the shoes. Okay. Come to the world, to church, to find out what's popular in the world. A terrible disgrace to Christ. Our subject of people. God needs a people who find the world unattractive. Nothing in the world appeals to them. And I mean nothing, including the NFL and the NBA and the playoffs and the hockey team and the Olympics. God has nothing to do with these things. They consume us. You can't find a genuine Christian waiting for the coming of Christ standing in a long line overnight to buy an iPhone. When the church needs money for missions, are you following me? These are the things of the world. They must have no attraction for us. And so the Bible says, don't covet the things of the world. Our subject is a people. I am presenting to you, God needs a people for whom the world has no attraction. Because their minds are consumed with the beauties of heaven and the glories of the character of Christ. And the only thing that attracts them are the things of God. Amen. And the things of the world mean nothing to them. I have a friend. Every time we meet, within 30 seconds or 60, we're in a Bible discussion. And he starts it. Give him the credit. He can tell you who plays for the Los Angeles Lakers? Who won the NBA? He does not know. You know why? He does not care. But he can tell you about James White and Ellen White and Daniel 8:14 and Revelation 14. He can tell you that because that's his life. Every time we meet, it's a remarkable thing. He leads us right into a Bible discussion. Almost as if that's how he breathes. I tell you, he does not know where the New York Yankees play. Are you following me? If you tell him, where do the New York Yankees play? I don't know.
In the Bronx. You should know.
So, my brothers and sisters, we need to be a different people for whom the world has no attraction. Our young ladies should not be fascinated by Beyonce and Lady Gaga and who's the other one? Well, yeah, she too. Mm-hmm. Or by who the guys, I don't know who they are, whoever they are, Jay-Z, well, he's almost 100 years old now, so he doesn't count. But whoever they are you following me? That should not be what fascinates us. Or LeBron James and Jesus. The character of Christ should dazzle us. That's the people God needs. So that their focus, their money, their treasures, their talent, their time, they're all directed towards the finishing of God's work. Because they've got their eyes on another world. When God called Abraham, he called him out of Mesopotamia. What God wanted to do with Abraham could not be done in Mesopotamia. Elamite writes, in order that God might qualify him for his great work as the keeper of the sacred oracles, Abraham must be separated from the associations of his early life. The influence of kindred and friends would interfere with the training the Lord purposed to give his servant. Now that Abraham was in a special sense connected with heaven, he must dwell among strangers. His character must be peculiar, differing from all the world. He could not explain his course of action so as to be understood by his friends. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned, and his motives and actions were not comprehended by his idolatrous kindred. They could not understand. Because his mind was somewhere else. Let me tell you something. As I said earlier, I believe today, when you decide to be that kind of child for God, not only the church members won't understand, your family members won't understand. Because so few of us are 100% committed to God. When that commitment begins to express itself, so-called holy people will be puzzled. And so when Jesus said to Mary in Luke 2:49, wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? The Bible says in verse 50, they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. Mary and Joseph did not understand. Mercy is right. They did not understand the mission of this boy. He understood. And Christ needs a people whose lives are so different, even relatives won't understand. It is when we reach that point that the world will begin to ask, who are these people? Who are they? Because we'll be made different by the Spirit of God. My brothers and sisters, this world is coming to an end. It is coming to an end. Makes no difference who's in the White House. Persecution is coming. A Sunday law is coming. It makes no difference whether Democrats, Republicans, Independents run the White House. A Sunday law is coming. Persecution is coming. The close of probation is coming. Get ready. Be a people attracted to heaven. Not to the earth. I'll give you one of the first, then we close. Go to Hebrews 11, read something remarkable. Hebrews 11, let's read from verse 15. We're talking to Abraham, talking about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, Rebecca, and Rachel. Here's what the Bible says. You have Hebrews 11? All right, you have that now? Let's pray. Holy Father, as I close, let me close with a demonstration of your Spirit's power, that what I say will be your words and they may reach the hearts of your people. In Jesus' name I sincerely ask. Amen. Read verse 15. Well, let's read from 13 to get a connection. Read with me. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, now finish the verse carefully, and confess, come on, that there were strangers, come on, and pilgrims were on the earth. Stop. Think. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, by their lifestyles, they were saying, we don't belong on this earth. And confessed. This is a testimony. Their lives were a testimony that they did not belong on that earth. Read verse 14. What does that say? For they that say such things declare plainly, Wait a minute. Weren't they in a country? Yes. Listen to that verse again. They that say such things, what things? We're strangers and pilgrims. Declare how? Come on, look at 15. Declare how? 14. Plainly. Come on, what? They seek a country. Is it clear to your friends your mind is somewhere else? Is it clear to your colleagues on the job you're a Christian? They declare plainly they seek a country. Now, read verse 15 for me. Slowly and clearly. What does it say? And truly, come on, if they had been mindful, come on, of that, from whence they might have had opportunity to return. Stop. What does that verse say? When they left Mesopotamia, they did not spend time thinking about it. They left. When Lot's wife left Sodom, she was thinking about it, so she stayed as salt. Oh, what a powerful verse. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country, if they kept, I wish I could go back to the nightclubs, go back to the drugs, go back to running around with women and men. Oh, I wish, oh, I'm sorry I left that. Why did I get baptized? When you think like that, you go back. Don't even think of your past life. Because you left it for a reason. The people God needs are those who don't even remember that past life. They are focused on another country. In other words, we're just passing through. And that has to be demonstrated in every aspect of our lives. The people, the message, the enemy, the power. What's the power? Who's the enemy? What's the message? The commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. What is the faith of Jesus Christ? The faith that Christ can amply, fully, and entirely save us from sin. And who are the people? Those who separate themselves from the world. No desire for the world. They make it clear by their lifestyle they are seeking another country in this direction. My brothers and sisters, it is better to leave God than to give Him half-hearted service. We are the Laodiceans, we know that. The message is, I know that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. God says, look, be hot or be cold. Don't try to mix the two. That makes me spit, says God. I know thy works, that are neither cold nor hot. I would thou art cold. God said, I wish you'd make up your mind. Are you a Christian? Are you not? Are you an SDA or are you not? Make up your mind, says God. Serve Baal or serve God? How many of you will say, Father, help me while I was on this earth to live a heavenly lifestyle. Can I see your right hand? Stand up with me. While I'm on the earth, help me to live a heavenly lifestyle. So that we eat differently from the world. We dress differently. We spend money differently. We raise our children differently. We worship differently. We do everything differently. Why? Because we are not of this world. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Dear God, we thank you so much for the messages we've heard, your word. And every time your word is spoken, Father, your word presents a challenge for the speaker as well as the audience. Dear God, as I look back on the presentations, forgive me where I fell short, where I was not effective. It's my fault, not yours, and I am asking you to forgive me. And may I be more effective the next time I stand to speak for you. From the very foundation of my soul, dear God, bless your sons and your daughters gathered before you. Father, let something that was said remain with them and trouble them, dear God, and give them no peace until they come into a right relationship with you. Bless their lives. I believe, dear God, every single person listening to me now desires a place in your kingdom where all will be peace and righteousness and blessedness. Whatever challenges they have, Father, help them. Send them your Spirit. Send them your angels, dear God. Protect them from harm and danger, Father. Put a double blessing on the lives of their children, dear God. Bless the churches they represent. Bless the leaders of the churches, dear God, because church leadership is not easy. But Father, give us an appetite for Bible truth so that we may detect all the error rising up in the church. Let us be the reason why other people are drawn close to you. Father, hear this humble prayer. When you come into your kingdom, dear God, save us, I pray, without losing one. In Jesus' name and for his sake, let God's people say, amen and amen. Sing our closing hymn one more time. Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. 286, sing them over again to me and really sing from your heart. Decision. Based on what you've heard, make a decision. Make a choice. Make changes in your lives. Please. Who will decide, based on what you've heard, to spend a little more time in God's Word? Can I see your hand? Thank you on behalf of God. Counsels on Sabbath School Work, page 43, paragraph 2, Ellen White writes, study the Word and practice the Word. It is your life. Evangelism, page 138, paragraph 4. To study the Word of God is to eat the leaves from the tree of life. Your protection against deception is not your academic degree. It is not your CEO status. It is a knowledge of the Word of God, not just a head knowledge, a knowledge that's a working principle in your life and mind. That's the protection against deception. Make some changes in your lives. Don't just sit back and say, God, do it. As I told a friend, some Christians act as though they say to God, Father, wake me when you're done with me. Salvation is done when you're awake, because it requires your involvement. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. Without our confession, there's no forgiveness. The most popular verse says, for God so loved the world, He did that. That He gave, He did that. That whosoever believeth, that's your work and mine. Don't just leave the same person. Decide, I want the Holy Spirit. I need to understand the Word more clearly. I need to examine my life. Am I separated from the world? What is it that guides my decisions regarding fashion, money spending? Is it the world or the Word of God? Mingle with the counsel from Ellen White. Make a decision to read more of the testimonies. Make a decision to teach your children the Word of God. Please. Let's pray. Dear God, they are my brothers and sisters. I love them. Bless them, Father. I mean it from my heart. Bless them. Pursue them, Lord, with your Spirit. Give them no rest from your determined love. Overpower them with your love. Please, God, keep working that mansion for us in the skies above. Let's hold on to Christ tenaciously. Even if Christ says, let me go, let us say no. Like Jacob. As we leave, let's leave taking you with us in our hearts, our minds. Let the decisions we make begin right now. Again, Father, thank you for the tremendous honor to be here at the Hershey SDA Church along with those who came from other churches. Save us when you come, O sweet Father. In Jesus' name I pray, let God's people say, amen and amen. Has the sun set yet? When the sun sets tonight, it does not set on your holiness as a person. Are you following me? The holy day will pass. Your holiness never sets. So even though the secular hours come, don't breathe a sigh of relief. The Sabbath is gone. You are still a holy person. Is that clear? God bless you. God bless you.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.